Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Job. The Old Testament book of Job in chapter number 14. The book of Job in chapter number 14. We're in a small little series dealing with the idea of Jesus answers Job. That in the midst of the book of Job, Job is going through trials. He's going through the worst time in his life, that he has lost his finances, he's lost all of his property, he's lost his children in just a matter of moments. He received the news, and now he has lost his health. And to encourage him some more, three of his friends had traveled together, and a young preacher boy, who was a know-it-all, traveled with him, and they all tried to convince Job that he was a massive sinner, and if he would just get right with God, that all of this would wipe away. Job, in the midst of the conversations, is responding that, I know I'm a sinner, but there's no unconfessed sin that I know of. I'm as right as I can be with possible. And so this isn't a judgment of God because of sin. There's something else going on here. And so as we come to the book of Job, we see that Job makes several statements throughout these conversations. And in the midst of this, we see that Jesus is the answer to all of Job's questions, to all of Job's statements, that Jesus is the answer. And we began our first message after the introduction dealing with that Jesus is our daysman. That word daysman carries the idea of a mediator, that there was someone who went between God and man, and that was the man, the Christ Jesus, who was our mediator, who went and made sure that God's wrath was satisfied as Jesus died on the cross, that he went to man and he was our redemption, that he purchased us with his blood, and with it he brought reconciliation to both parties, that Jesus was our daysman. Now as we come to the book of Job chapter 14, we could see the conversations are progressing on, and we could see as Job is getting a little bit more frustrated with the advice, with the counsel of his friends. Notice with me in the book of Job chapter 14, and notice with me in verse 1. Job 14 and verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. Seeing his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he be accomplished, as a hireling as his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will spring again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dieth and wasted away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth, drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and that thou wouldest appoint me at a set time, and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Job chapter 14? The book of Job chapter 14, and notice with me in verse 14. Job 14, 14, and notice the question that Job asked in Job 14, 14. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? Now we know that Jesus is always the answer to the questions. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to show us that Jesus, our life. Jesus, our life. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, I'm just asking that you would just give us wisdom, give us discernment. More importantly, that you would show yourself through this message. That we would be reminded and rejoice that you are our life. That we have the hope of eternal life through you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to be able to answer this very basic of man's question. This question that every single human being, whether they're saved or not, every single human being, whether they're religious or not, has to answer this question. What happens to a man when he dies? I'm thankful that we have that answer and that we can know for sure that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you again for you being a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. That Jesus is our life. Now, Job is getting pretty frustrated. He has these friends that are ragging on him, that are pressuring him, and he is sick. He is hurting. He's in mourning. He's lost 7 kids. Can you imagine what that would do to a parent to have 7 of your children pass away? All of his finances gone. His own wife just says, just curse God and die. And then the friends pressuring him and just saying, just get right, Job. Stop this. Just get right. I'm as right as I can be. And all it is doing is putting more and more pressure. And it's making him more and more miserable. Again, he begins to give an account of man. He's looking at man and he's just saying how short man's life really is. Notice with me verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Here he's speaking that life is quick. Life just goes away. Life is just fleeting. That a man that is born of woman is short of days. We don't have many days. If few of days, you don't have as many days to live as you think you do. Time is short. Someone who is older, they understand that eternity grows closer and closer. They think more and more about it. They look back and they say how quickly time has passed. You can't get it to slow down. You may look at one of these little kids and you tell them next year. And for them, that is such a long time away. But for an older adult, a year is nothing. Man, it just kind of goes in. I think most of us right now, we're in August. Most of us would still think we're back in February. We're still trying to catch back up. And it goes so quick. Life is just full of days. And guess what those days are full of? Trouble. Amen. We go through one crisis to another crisis to another crisis to another crisis. Full of trouble. Not a single one of us could raise our hand. And let me testify. I haven't had a single problem all of my life. Our days are short. And those days are full of trouble. There's always something to worry about. Always something that comes up. Always something we got to deal with. That's what life is. And Job is going back and he's saying, life is so short. It's cut down. Most of us need to mow our lawns from time to time. It's not like in the desert where you have rocks as a landscape. And then those who miss the green, they paint the rocks green. Here we got to mow our lawn. And you know that grass only has a short time? Most of us, that grass only lives about, you know, it grows up and it gets a week and then we cut it down again. It's just gone. That's what our life is like. It grows up like a weed and then it's gone. It's over. That's how the Bible's describing. It's like a vapor. It's like a shadow. It continueth not. It just, our life is so short. Notice as he goes up to verse number 7. He says there's a little bit of a hope in life. He says, verse 7, for there is a hope of a tree that it cut down and it will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof will wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. He's saying, all right, here's a tree that it dies, But it still has the hope of life again, that it's going to have the seeds, you water the roots, and it can come back to life. That old can come back new, that you could take a sproutling, you could take a cutting, and it could spring back up. But man, it doesn't work that way. Verse 10, but a man dieth and wasted away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? He says, for a plant, you could take a cutting of a plant and it will grow. Some of you don't try this at home. But if you were to cut your finger off and put it in the ground, would you get a brand new you that comes out? It doesn't work that way. That you don't have any sproutings. When you die, everything that is you dies too. It is gone. And Job is saying, the comparison, at least they have a hope of life after the tree dies, that life is going to continue to go on. But as for us, when we die, where is man? When he gives up the ghost, where is that life? Verse 11, as the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and raiseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. If you put someone in the grave, they're dead. You can't go back and dig them up 6 months later and say, all right, are you back? They're gone. You could dig them up a year from then. It still doesn't work. They're gone. They just decay. They're gone. There's no hope. That body is not coming back as we perceive it now. That you could observe all you want. You could let a dead body lay in a bed and you could just do an experiment. I want to see if this thing is going to rise up. And you could watch it day after day, and it's not going to move. It's not going to flinch. It's not going to sit up. It's not going to thirst. It's gone. That body is gone. And Job is looking at a natural thing and saying, my life is short. And after that, the body sits there. There's nothing there. There's nothing that will wake it up. There's nothing that could bring it back. You can't Frankenstein it. You can't put electricity into it. If it's dead, it's dead. It's gone. That's what we're going to look forward to, is our body in the ground. Verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou would keep me in secret till thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me at a set time and remember me. Job was saying, all right, God, I'd rather just skip this point in my life. I wish that I could go lay down in the grave and then just move past this trial, move past this anger. Then you remember me, set the alarm clock, and raise me up at due time. You know, it's kind of like those people who believe in cryogenic freezing, that they say, you know what, I don't like how life is right now. Freeze me like a popsicle, and then about 100 years when life is better, unfreeze me and I'll come back here. It doesn't work that way. Job is saying, I wish I could do that, but it doesn't work. Verse number 14. If a man die, shall he live again? Now this live again, because we already have a preconceived idea. We have the idea, does a man rise from the grave? But that's not what it's talking about here. He's asking the idea that when someone dies, what happens to him? Is there life after death? If someone is in a casket, where do they go? What is their spirit? Now, isn't this the natural question that everyone asks themselves? What happens when we die? What happens? We know what happens to our body, that our body is there. It doesn't move. It doesn't come back to life. Our body is there. But what happens to us? Remember, we are more than a body. We are made up of spirit, soul, and body. So when our body dies, what happens to man? Is that it? We understand that there are many people within the world that believes that this is the only time we have, and that when your body dies, everything that is you dies with you. There is nothing after this. This is what they teach. Isn't that a hopeless idea? That there's nothing after this? Especially knowing that our days are made of few days and they're full of trouble. Wouldn't this be horrible if this is all we had to look forward to? Looking at the world and how horrible it is, that this is all we had to live for. Is this it? And Job is asking a natural question that every single person will ask one time in their life. Is this it? What happens after I die? Is there some part of me that lives on? And if they live on, what happens to them? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change occur. So this is the natural question. What happens to me when I die? What happens to what makes me up? When my body is laying in the grave, what happens to me? Well, that is a wonderful question. And by the way, that is a natural question. And that is a question that should be asked. And that is a question that needs to be thought about. What happens to what makes you you when you die? When the casket is rolled up, when you are cremated, when you're in the urn, what happens when that body is decayed? What happens to you? Well, that is a wonderful question. If you don't mind, I'd like to answer that question through the gospel record of John chapter number 11. John chapter 11, turn with me if you don't mind. And let's see as Jesus answers this question by looking at a dead man. Look with me in the book of John chapter number 11. John chapter 11, and if you're familiar with scripture, this is the story of Lazarus. And so we're going to deal with a man by the name of Lazarus. Jesus had a very popular place he liked to stop at, a place called Bethany, which was near Jerusalem. And whenever he got a chance, he would stay with his friends of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And he loved to stop at their house. He became very good friends with them. And as we approach this passage, the first thing I'd like to show you is the death of Lazarus. The death of Lazarus. Notice with me in verse number 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he who thou lovest is sick. So they sent a message to Jesus. By the way, wouldn't you, if you knew Jesus and you could get a message to him? Hey, my brother's sick. He doesn't look good. He's going to die. So they run and they send a messenger to Jesus. Jesus receives the message, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now this is important here. Jesus says, there's going to be a trial here. And this is not for the purpose of harming Lazarus. This is for the purpose so everyone could glorify God. That I'm teaching a lesson. I'm trying to get something across through this trial here. That the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, that's an amazing statement. You could just take that. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. And Jesus loved Lazarus. He's not picking on Lazarus and said, I'm glad the bum's gone. He loved Lazarus. This was his friend. Notice with me in verse number 6. And when he heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode, Jesus, abode 2 days in the same place where he was. So when he heard the news, Jesus had parked. He didn't rush back. He said, let's camp out here, boys. And took his disciples, and they stood at the same place for 2 days. He didn't go back to Bethany to go see him. They stayed where they were. His disciples, in verse number 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if the man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Now Jesus said, all right, boys, we're going back to Judea. And the disciples said, wait a second. Those Jews, they want to kill you. You sure you want to go back? And Jesus says, if a man walk in the light, and walketh in the day, he doesn't stumble. It's where he walks in the night. This is where we get our saying that never doubt in the night what God gives you in the light. That God gives you something to do, go do it. And you won't stumble. It's when things get dark that's when we start stumbling around and we start messing up. Just do what God has given you to do, walk in the light. But notice in verse 12. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. So Jesus said, Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going to go wake him up. And his disciples said, oh, that's good. I'm glad he's getting rest. So Jesus has to clarify what he means. in verse number 13. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of him taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 14 is, if you could allow a little segue, when we do chaplain training for the police departments and we're taught how to do death notifications, they teach us to use the word dead or death. Because people in that initial time when you show up, they're at shock. So if you say, well, he went upstairs, they'll go to their attic and go look. Just in shock, they'll go look for him. Well, he passed away. Well, where'd he go? Well, you know, so you have to use clear language. The same thing happened to his disciples here. Oh, Lazarus is asleep. That was a nice, kind way of saying that he passed on. Oh, he's resting. That's good. So Jesus plainly had to say, no, he's dead. Oh, well, that's different. He had to make sure they understood what they said. Verse number 15. And I was glad for your sakes that I was not there. Lazarus is dead and I'm glad. That's kind of disconcerting, isn't it? I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now remember, they're worried about the Jews trying to kill Jesus. And they said, all right, if that's what he wants to go, we'll all go die with him. Let's go. And so Jesus is marching back. We see that Lazarus is dead, which brings us to the second thing in this story, the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus is clearly dead. Now remember, Job's question is, when a man dies, what happens to him? What happens to a man when he dies? Well, Lazarus, he's dead. So what's going to happen to him? His body is clearly dead. Jesus has waited 2 days here, and it's going to take 2 days to get back. So math class, 2 plus 2 is how many days? 4. So the body has been dead for 4 days. So what happens to a man when the body dies? What makes a man? Does it also cease to exist? Does it disappear? What happens to a man when he dies? Is there life after this? Well, notice with me as we see Lazarus as our example, the raising of Lazarus. Notice with me verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So he didn't just die. He had been put in the grave for 4 days. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. If I could go back and hit the 4 days. This 4 days is important because the Jewish people believe that the body did not start to decompose until the 4th day. And so 3 days, it's still safe, but 4th day, it's now too late because decomposition already hits, that it already starts to decompose the body. And so he's not just dead, he's dead dead. He's starting to decompose dead. That's why they used to put their spices, frankincense and myrrh and the spices on the body, because they're starting to decompose and you don't want to go. You want to have some kind of air freshener into the side of the grave because you don't want to sit next to the grave when he's starting to decompose. That's why they have the burial spices with him. And so day 4, he's decomposing. He's starting the decomposing process. He's not going to be recognizable. You know, talking to the people at the funeral homes, they explain why it's so important to embalm someone before a funeral, especially if a funeral is going to be a week away, because the decomposition will start so quickly that they could not have an open casket a week later if they did not do the preservative process. Back then, they didn't have a preservative process, and so they're starting to decompose. He is starting to be eaten away. His body is dead, dead. Again, we're trying to show what happens to a man when he dies. Does he disappear? Does he cease to exist? We're not saying that, you know, he was dead for 2 minutes on a table and they shocked him and brought him back. We're talking about a body that is dead, dead for 4 days, that is starting to decompose. What happens to a man when your body is dead? Notice as we pick it back up in verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Mary to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whosoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it to thee. So she runs up to Jesus and says, Jesus, if you were only here, he wouldn't have died. You could have healed him. You could have done something. You are 4 days late. You understand that even if Jesus is 4 days late, he's still on time. That our time schedule may not be God's time schedule. Jesus wasn't late. Martha thought he was late, but Jesus wasn't late. He had a plan. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. So she's acknowledging by faith that, yeah, I know I'm going to see him again. I know there's going to be a great reunion day. I know I'll see him again. I understand that Jesus, that what you've taught before, that we're going to rise again. Verse number 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here Jesus says it plainly, that if a man's body is dead, he shall still live. There's something about it, that every single person who lives, when they die, they will go eternity somewhere. Now the question is where do you end up? Do you go to a wonderful place called heaven or an awful place called hell? What makes the difference is if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Notice as we now go on, verse number 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Notice this phrase, you shall never die. You shall have eternal life. That God promised this eternal life. You shall never die if you believe in him. Verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she, this is Mary, rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. Now Martha had come back and said, Mary, don't tell anybody, Jesus wants to see you. So when she took off, everyone else saw her take off, and she goes, oh no, she's going back to the grave. She's going to go to the casket, to his burial ground. She's going to go weep over him. And so they began to try to comfort her. Verse 32, then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst just been here, my brother had not died. Once again, you're late, Jesus, you're late. If you were here on time, he wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You know, these people had a lack of faith. They believe, yeah, we're going to raise one day, but they did not realize that he had the power to make him raise today. Notice in verse number 34, and said, where hath he laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Now Jesus wept not because of how much he loved Lazarus. He wept because of the lack of faith, the lack of understanding of who he is. That broke his heart, that they did not trust him. They did not believe that he had the power to do such things. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind and caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. You know, imagine how hard it is for God when we keep blaming him that he is late. We keep blaming him that, why, God, why didn't you do this? Instead of depending on him by faith, saying, God, you know what you're doing after all. He was grieved and he groaned. And he goes, verse 38, and Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Again, the decomposition process has begun. And they said, they're going to open up and you're going to smell that decay. You're going to go to the grave and his body, it's already starting to get eaten away. No, no, he stinketh. It's too late. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that thou mayest believe that thou hast sent me. Now he's praying and he's saying, by the way, I don't have to pray out loud like this. I'm doing this for everyone that hears me to let me know, let them know I'm talking to God and that he hears me when I pray. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Can you imagine what a sight that was? They open up the cave. It's dark inside. The body is laid in. They've already laid linens around him in that decay process. This is how they would take care of the body. They would wrap him almost like a mummy. And so he's got linen cloth around him. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he starts coming out. The clothes all around him. He's got a napkin on his face and he's coming out saying, guys, what happened? What's going on? And he comes out. Can you imagine what a sight that would be? And Jesus says, loose him from his clothes. Go unwrap him from all those bandages. Go and do that now. You understand what came out was not a zombie. What came out was Lazarus made of spirit, soul, and body. That when Lazarus's body died, he did not cease to exist, but his spirit and soul existed somewhere. And that when Jesus said, come forth, his spirit and soul came back into his body and he walked out. And as he walks out, Jesus says, go unwrap him. Can you imagine what a sight that was? Notice this. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Now remember at the very beginning, why did not the disciples want to go to Judea? Because the Jews were going to kill him. You know what happened now? Many of those Jews accepted Jesus and they said, this is a man who has control over life. You see, there was more to stake than just one person getting healed. There was a process of many people coming to know Jesus as their Savior because of what happened. It teaches us so much. This passage teaches us so much. But it does teach us that there's something that exists after your body dies. Now the question remains, where does that spirit and soul go? Well, we understand that heaven is a perfect place. That's why we want to go there. Up in heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. It is perfect. But what really makes it worth going there is that God is there, that Jesus is there. And that the Bible describes God that he is holy, holy, holy. The Bible also says that unfortunately, we as man, we are sinners. There is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That every single one of us have disobeyed God. Every single one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible goes on to explain, for the wages of sin is death. Now, we've already talked about death. Let's talk about it some more. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. A sin is anything that we've done against God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin. Wage is deals with the idea of a reward. That because I sinned, the reward, the price that I owe God is death. Now that word death carries the idea of separation. For example, physical death happens when you have a body that's here and the soul and the spirit are separated from that body. We would say that body is dead because that body is there. But guess what? The spirit and soul exist somewhere else. Now, when that word death means separation, physical death is when the body is there and the soul and spirit are separation. The spiritual death we owe God is that we deserve to be separated from God in heaven. And unfortunately, there's one other awful place to go, and that's an awful place called hell. For the wages of sin is death. That physical death happens to all men. And that physical death is when your body is there and your soul is separated out. Spiritual death is when we deserve to be separated from God because of our sins. And we deserve to be separated from him. You know that God never created hell to punish Satan and his to punish man. He created hell to punish Satan and his demons. Man goes there by default because there's nowhere else to go. But the good news is that God didn't want us to go there. So Jesus, who is our life, who is the resurrection, came on this earth and he died for you and I. And he paid that wage to pay that price for us. And that if we would just accept him as our personal savior, he promised, and God can't lie, that he would forgive us of all of our sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All we have to do is personally accept that gift for ourselves. And God promised, Jesus promised us everlasting life. So we know that we're going to exist somewhere forever after we die. But we can have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to that to Martha when he in John chapter 11, where he says in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now he asked her the question, believest thou this? Now each of us have to believe that for ourselves. Do you believe that Jesus is able to bring your soul to heaven when you die? Is Jesus able to forgive you of all of your sins? That Jesus is our life. And let me tell you, there's good news, friends, that when you have that eternal life, this is the worst that it will ever be. Because we got 1,000 years with Christ in the millennium kingdom. And then eternity future with time will stop. Time will be no more. What a wonderful time that we could have. And that's promised to us if we would just receive that free gift. But if someone did not accept Jesus Christ as their savior, that when they die, it's not over. But this is the best they'll ever have. The worst is still yet to them, to an awful place called hell. And hell is a real place. That a man, when he dies, yet will he live. That when your body ceases to function, you will be somewhere forever. Where that place is your choice, not God's choice. God wants everyone to come, but you have to be willing to accept that free gift that he is offering you of Jesus Christ paying your price on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.